ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game brought to you by Chuck McDowell, Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll be joined by Mike Herndon from paulkuharski.com coming up at 8:15. Get his thoughts on the Titans and what they've done to this point in the offseason. So looking forward to that. The NFL's owners' meetings are going on down there in Orlando, Florida. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com, who will be with us on the program tomorrow, caught up with Amy Adams Strunk briefly yesterday down there at the owners' meetings. Here's what Amy Adams Strunk had to say about the Titans and the moves they've made to this point.
About the way everything's gone since the big changes.
Well, there's been an exciting couple of weeks, I tell you. I'm just thrilled with what Rand and Chad and Brian were able to get done.
Can you imagine they bring that many people through the door this quickly?
I didn't know quite we were going to head that way, but you know what? I'm super thrilled, super pumped, super excited for our fans about how it's all going to go down this next year.
And a couple of those guys said they felt the energy of employees top to bottom as they walked in. I imagine that was exciting.
That definitely feels good to me. I'm glad that's the energy. I'm glad they're excited to be here, and I think it bodes well for our season.
So that was Amy Adams Strunk down at the owners' meetings yesterday. I enjoyed that. By the time question three rolled around, looked like she was ready to get out of there. Now Paul,
you've
done asked me two questions. It don't need to be no three now. I got places to be. I'm in a hurry. Leave me alone, Paul.
You could hear the urgency in his. You could tell.
He's like, I got another one for you. I got one more.
Yeah. But hey, he got her. Good hustle on PK. And that's very, very difficult. Very rare. I mean, Amy M. Strunk is going to speak to anyone that isn't, someone who works for her.
Yes, it was very rare. So good on Kuharski for catching up with her yesterday. Lots of stuff going on at the NFL owners' meetings that we'll get to some of the rules here in just a second. I do want to read something that Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN, just put out there. Robert Kraft discussing the Calvin Ridley situation, how I guess he got away from the Patriots, shares that Calvin Ridley told the Patriots his girlfriend preferred to be in the South. He said the team had been willing to make up the difference in taxes between Massachusetts and Tennessee while acknowledging that the QB situation could have been a factor. This is what Mike Reese put out there, this coming from Robert Kraft this morning at the meetings in Orlando. So apparently Calvin Ridley's girlfriend wanted to be in the South, and they didn't care about the difference made up in taxes between Massachusetts and Tennessee, Joe.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm glad he acknowledged the QB thing. I mean, I've got to think. I mean, obviously, if you're Calvin Ridley, you're not looking at Will Levis and saying, hey, I'm going to go play with an all-pro quarterback. But you got to think there's a chance he's going to be pretty good. Whereas what they're going to do, we don't know. I mean, maybe they'll end up with Jaden Daniels, but who knows? And who knows how good he'll be.
Exactly. So they're discussing changes to the kickoff rules down there, where basically they'd adopt like the XFL-style kickoff rules where they're lined up 10 yards away from each other once the ball is kicked, and they're trying basically to do as many things as they can do to eliminate collisions on kickoffs. We're eventually, I think, Joe, going to get to the point where the kickoff just probably doesn't exist at some point. We're not there yet, but that's probably where we're going here with the NFL at some point. There's the hip drop tackle part of this, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes, but the owners' meetings, pretty interesting stuff going on down there from the rule change standpoint. I know the hip drop tackle – now being banned. Like I saw defensive players reacting to this, and their basic response is like, how in the world do you want us to play defense right now? Like you can't really be in anybody's general area code playing defense when the ball's in the air. You get a pass interference penalty. You can't hardly breathe on the quarterback anymore without getting a roughing the passer flag thrown. When a receiver goes up for the ball, there's like a limited strike zone of where you can hit him. And now when like somebody's trying to tackle Derrick Henry, you can't do a hip drop tackle anymore. So how in the world are you going to get him to the ground? It's a tough time to be a defensive player right now in the league with the rules the way they are.
Yeah, it's, you know, the rules that are like quote unquote safety rules, or you could also just double read them as help the offense rules. Let's have more scoring. Defense, you know, took a little step forward last year in the overall numbers. I truly believe this is going to be a 1 year thing. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, obviously safety measure. I mean, first of all, let's always acknowledge the absolute hypocrisy here of safety measures when the owners are pushing for an 18th game and when teams play on Sunday and then Thursday and all these things. I mean, safety, except for all these things that make it less safe. I don't see how this is going to be one of two things. I think this is going to be like the pass interference review rule where it's such a rarity that it just goes away, but maybe I'm wrong and maybe it'll be all over the place and flags everywhere for basically, you know, typical tackles. I don't know. It's so much about how it's going to be enforced. I think this is going to be a 1 year thing though. I don't see how you can, like, you can, in egregious cases of this, there are examples that they showed where, you know, you're getting a guy's leg pinned and you are injuring someone. I think you can still throw a personal foul for something like that, right?
Yeah.
But the actual act of the hip drop being illegal, it's going to be so impossible to sort through this. And they're going to be, you know, if you got a game determined by something like that, when there's no danger at all to someone, which is what happens with most of these, the vast, vast majority of these, boy, is that going to be a problem.
Right. Like you can find examples of somebody executing a hip drop tackle where basically their bottom lands on the back leg of somebody and it gets their knee all twisted up, and all of a sudden you've got this gruesome injury and a torn ACL or, you know, a compound fracture or whatever it is, and the stretcher's coming out and it's awful. And that does happen. I mean, I would say, I don't want to assign a percentage to it, but the overwhelming majority of the time the hip drop tackle is used, people just get right back up and they continue playing football. And sometimes it just happens throughout the course of making a tackle, and it's not even what somebody tried to do. It just, that's the way it goes down. So, like, to me, I'm really interested to see how they enforce this, because sometimes these plays just happen when you're, like, holding on for dear life trying to bring somebody to the ground. And that's the way it happens. Are you just going to throw a flag every time? Like, I'm with you. I think eventually it's probably going to get to the point where, unless it's just an egregious case of it, the flag is not going to be thrown. And that kind of goes against what the rule is intended for anyway.
Yeah, like, go back to college basketball a few years ago. The hook and hold was a big thing, right? It was an emphasis. And then it basically, for a while, it was called constantly, you know, and it was like, basically anytime guys got their arms locked up, boxing out for a rebound, there was a decent chance it was the hook and hold is going to be called. It was just this huge point. And, you know, there was an awful, in fact, it was a Purdue big, Harms maybe, I don't remember, but awful, gruesome injury. That's why it became this big thing. Right. So then you get to a point where it's like, if there's a bad one, first of all, I do think that it got it out of the game a little bit, but, and then still, like, if there's a bad one that hurts someone, then do it. Right. So I'm hoping that's what happens here. Basically those ones that you're talking about, like, you're not supposed to do this. So you get it out of how you're doing it. And you got to know, if you do it and you come down on someone's leg, and certainly if they get hurt, you're going to be flagged, and you should be. But, you know, then hopefully we move past where it is like an auto flag for tackling like that. Cause sometimes you have to. And again, most of the time when you do it, everybody's fine. So I'm hoping that's the way it goes. But I could see this being a real headache.
By the way, the kickoff rule just passed. So Ian Rappaport just put it out there that the hybrid kickoff model has just been passed down at the NFL owners meetings as well. So add that one to the list. Kickoff is quickly becoming a thing of the past, of the way that that it used to be. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say hello to our friend Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So it's been a very busy offseason to this point for the Titans. Rand Carthon and the Titans very active in free agency. Number one, what do you make of what they've done in free agency, and how do you think that translates to the field? We were tossing this around earlier, Mike. The expectations from the sports books, from the national media, is still very low for the Titans heading in this next season. How do you view what they've done in terms of the competitiveness and what we could see come this time in the fall?
I kind of thought that they would be aggressive in free agency. I'm still not sure I even fathomed them being this aggressive with the Ridley deal, with the Snead trade. They've really gone for it in a lot of spots. Now, there's certainly some spots that still need addressing, you know, middle linebacker, a safety spot, an edge spot, defensive line needs some depth, things like that. But and obviously tackle still isn't fixed. So there's still some spots to address, but they've been very aggressive. And I guess to me, you don't go and get a Calvin Ridley and a L'Jarius Sneed. You know, Ridley's 29, I believe, and Sneed is 27. So they're in their prime still, but not, you know, 24, 25-year-old guys either. I don't think you go get those guys if you're planning on this being a long rebuild. I think they're doing what they can to support Will Levis and give him a real shot to show whether he has the goods or not, which ultimately is going to be what this season is mostly about for the Titans, I think. Can they be competitive? I actually think so now. I wasn't so sure before free agency, but these are some pretty big additions that move the needle for me, frankly. And I think pairing that with whatever they do in the draft, I think there is a chance that you see this team, you know, in a competitive spot and challenging for a playoff spot this year.
On Snead in particular, Mike, first of all, how do you think that works with the corner group they suddenly have and with Denard Wilson and what he wants to do on defense? And then also, do you have any concerns? I know that there was, you know, some people have asked us in the text, and I know that's been out there. He had knee swelling in camp, but then he appeared to have no issues during the season.
Yeah, you know, and to start with, I guess the knee thing, I don't know enough about it to really know whether that's something to be concerned about or not. I mean, like you said, it does seem like he played. It certainly did not hamper his play on the field. I'll say that last year. So if it's something that just requires a little bit of maintenance and is not considered like a degenerative issue that's going to get worse as things go on, then I think that's not really that big of a cause for alarm. It's something to keep an eye on for sure. But, you know, none of us have seen MRIs or scans of his knee. So, who knows how bad it is or even what it is. We really don't have any details at all on that. But as far as play on the field, I think Snead, to me, he slots into this corner group perfectly because, you know, to me, a Woozy was a little bit of a miscast, I guess, as a one. But as a two, he slides in great. I mean, he's a high end two still at this point in his career. And then Snead is your top dog. Snead to me is one of the top five or six probably corners in the league. You know, I don't think he's quite Sauce Gardner, but he's not far off from that top group. And he does everything. You know, he can play man, he can play zone, he can shadow the other team's best receiver, which is what Kansas City asked him to do. He can play in run support. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can do it all, and he does it all at a high level in a defense that is pretty complex on the back end for Spagnuolo. So what I think Denard Wilson wants to do is kind of have this be a secondary-led defense from what it appears, certainly. That's the, now the strength of the defense very clearly, which will be different for Titans fans from what we've seen over the last few years. And I think it's very interesting when you look at the other additions like Kenneth Murray, who I view Kenneth Murray's best use as a football player is when he is coming downhill as either a blitzer or just being able to really sell out and run defense. So putting a strong secondary behind him and maybe freeing him up to blitz a little bit more does make some sense. So if that is the direction that they're going, I think that's a very, you know, it's a plan that makes sense on all levels from the additions that they've made. So I think that could be a good hint of what Denard Wilson wants this thing to look like.
Mike Herndon with us from PaulKuharski.com. So, Mike, on the Ridley front, obviously him and Hopkins being the 1-2 now, are you comfortable with the receiving group as currently constructed with Burks being the presumed 3? Would you like to see them still add to that group with a relatively high pick in the draft? How do you view where the Titans currently stand at wide receiver?
I'm comfortable with the receiver room for 2024 as it stands right now. However, I think for the draft, you do have to look at what happens beyond 2024. And, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is on the end of his contract here coming up this year. He, you know, is 32 years old. There's no guarantee that, A, he'll be back for another year, or B, that he'll be back in a capacity that looks like what he looked like last year, which was still really good. So to me, this is kind of a situation where if you're going to take a receiver, it's about building for the future and making sure that you don't have, you know, this good receiving core in 2024 and then a big drop off when Hopkins either leaves or retires or maybe his play declines in 2025. So to me, it's about an investment in the next 4 years, more so than in 2024, if they go receiver. And it's about taking advantage of what is a really deep and strong receiver class. So I still think receiver should be in play in day one, day two range. But, you know, obviously there's some big holes to fill in other spots. And look, they haven't invested in the defense in the draft in a long time. So there's a lot of things to weigh there for Rand Carthon. And I think ultimately, I just keep coming back to this thing, like, you need more picks. So I think trading back from 7 or 38 or both remains almost a necessity for this team at this point.
So obviously we're not going to hit everything, Mike. One of the spots that I'm really interested in is right tackle. Do you think that the right tackle answer is on this roster right now? Potentially?
And I would say potentially would be Nicholas Petit-Frere, which was extremely discouraging last year. Even like setting aside the suspension stuff and the injury, the play on the field was bad last year, like flat out a step back from his rookie season, which is never what you want to see. Now, I think there were enough flashes during his rookie season to think, okay, maybe there is a player in there that Bill Callahan could get out a better version, a more consistent version of him in year three. But, you know, do I want to enter the season hanging my hopes on that at right tackle? No, absolutely not. To me, an addition like Cam Fleming, who is not a sexy name in the free agency pool, he's like, you know, a 30-year-old swing tackle who has started a couple seasons, but, you know, never really been like a guy that a team has committed to at one of those spots. He's mostly just been a high-end backup wherever he's been. I think he's a guy that would make sense to come pair with Nicholas Petit-Frere, and whoever wins that battle wins the battle, and the other guy's the swing backup. I think that makes sense because I still think Sevens or after a small trade back is going to be your left tackle most likely. And the nice thing about Fleming, too, is he can play left tackle as well. He's played both sides. So, to me, he gives you a lot of flexibility heading into the draft and heading into like what you want that tackle room to look like. So I do think they need to make a veteran addition in addition to what they've got and what they're certain to draft next month. But, yeah, Nicholas Petit-Frere would be the only one that I really hold out a ton of hope for at the tackle spot right now.
Mike, last thing for you here. Obviously, they've made significant investment and improvement in the secondary right now. You lose the Nico Autry. So when you look at players rushing the passer, you feel good about Simmons. You feel good about Harold Landry. That's about it, at least from my perspective at this point. So how concerning is that, and how equipped do you think the Titans are to fix that as they go through the rest of the offseason here?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern at this point because I think Arden Key and Brian Callahan echoed the sentiment yesterday that I view Arden Key as a situational player.
Yeah.
He's not a starter. He's not an every down edge rusher. So, and I don't think, you know, Rashad Weaver certainly hasn't shown enough in his 3 years with the team to make me feel like he's ready to step into a major role in this defense, or at least not in a capacity that you feel great about. So I think they have major issues there. And again, like I said, you know, you'd love to get a wide receiver for the future. You'd also love to get an edge rusher, because even if you charitably look at this thing as like, all right, Harold Landry and Arden Key can still be good pass rushers for you. They're both 28 years old, and, you know, you don't have young guns coming up behind them. I mean, I know people fell in love with Caleb Murphy last year and his story coming out of Ferris State and everything like that, but we certainly have not seen enough that you should be hanging any real hope on him becoming a guy. If he is, he's a pleasant surprise for you. So to me, again, that second pick in the draft, whatever, wherever that may land, I could see like a Chris Braswell or a Darius Robinson being a good fit for what they're needing as far as giving them somebody opposite Landry that can be a part of the future moving forward. Because, I mean, yeah, the pass rush is still going to be critical no matter how good your secondary is.
Well, Mike, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexall. We'll react to what Mike had to say. We'll get a little deeper into the kickoff rule that was just approved by the NFL owners as well. All that coming up. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt Baseball takes on Valparaiso with pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6. Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Appreciate Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com for being with us in the last segment. Joe, what'd you make of Herndon's? So Herndon seemed to be pretty locked in on the idea of trading back, be that from 7, from 38, maybe from both. As he threw back there, what did you make of Herndon's draft strategy there for the Titans to pick up more picks and address more needs?
Probably easier at 38 than at 7, just the way things are shaping up right now. I mean, certainly someone could want to get into 7 for some reason, but the quarterback situation is kind of, as we've talked about, kind of moved to the point where getting right in front of Atlanta isn't something teams are going to automatically think about. I think, you know, a lot of times you can find somebody who wants to get into your spot in the second round for somebody. So, yeah, like I think if they can get more picks, I think that would be great. I just have my doubts that they're going to find an opportunity with 7. So we'll see. And if they do, then yes, unless you're like, Joe Alt is going to be our great left tackle forever and we can pick him, or we can get more picks. Get the great player. You know, get the great player. If you believe he's a great player, get the great player. And as the Titans need both, they do need, I agree with Mike, they need more picks. They need as much draft capital as possible. They need as much draft impact on this roster moving forward as they can, because right now it is bereft of, you know, great draft picks that are still on the roster.
Bereft.
But also, thank you. And also, Zach, like my transformation pun. What a day!
Yeah,
what a day with the English language. But also, like, this roster is bereft of great players. So you got a premium pick right there, and you can get one. I'd stick there. I agree. Like at 38, if you got a lot of people kind of similarly ranked, and someone loves someone, and they want to get in front of someone, and you can do that, I'll do that all day.
It is interesting to think about wide receiver, though, both from, you know. Are they good enough right now? And also the future of the position beyond Hopkins, because Hopkins has 1 year left. I mean, look, I mean, he could have another great year and the Titans could bring him back. And I mean, he could be here for another 3-4 years. I have no idea. But 1 year left on the deal. You just signed Ridley. So, you know, Ridley's going to be here at least for the foreseeable future. But like that next guy, I mean, I think Titans fans are, I've seen it this offseason, and I guess I get it to a certain degree, but I just can't get there. Like, they're trying to talk themselves into Burks being that guy, and I get it. You drafted him in the first round, and you've changed the coach up now for a more offensive guy in a new system, so you're hoping that Burks can come in and thrive there. But I'm kind of with Caroline Earle in the show, who says, you know, if that happens, great, but I'm not even factoring him in when it comes to like the future of the position until I see him give you a reason to do so. Like until he provides me with a reason to factor him in, I'm not factoring him in. So I think you have to keep that in mind if you're the Titans about the future of wide receiver too, of like with this draft being what it is. And look, to that point, like one thing that's been pretty consistent over the last 3 or 4 drafts, the wide receiver position starting to become a place where you can find some wide receivers that can make impacts for you up and down the draft. Like there's a lot of talent coming at the wide receiver position from the college game. And I don't think that that's just all of a sudden going to stop here over the next couple of years, but it does feel like this draft in particular is pretty deep at wide receiver. So can you take advantage of that if you're the Titans? Do you have that luxury to do that? Or given the holes specifically at edge rusher on the interior of the D-line, if those type of players are there, are you going to be forced is probably the wrong word, but more inclined to go that route?
Yeah, I still think even though they've gotten to this point where they can be competitive next year, they can compete in the division, I think, on paper and have a team that could make a push, be in the playoff race in December. I still think, you know, I'm a big believer in that best, you know, the big board. So I think the answer is still, well, actually, we think, you know, this D tackle is just a higher on our big board than this receiver, so we're going there. You know, I get the best possible player you can get. You have to address need, and they're going to in some way with left tackle. Now, you mentioned with Burks, you drafted him. That's a thing too. That's an important point on this. They didn't.
Correct.
You know, they didn't make that move. So, you know, a good GM in this league still, even if they did make that mistake or coach, you know, you have to just go with the information and not. But I think it's human nature to try to want to hold on a little longer if it was your – it's just like a coach, college coach. Did the AD hire you or not?
Right.
If the AD hired you, you probably have an extra year. If not, you might have an extra year less. Extra year less? Yeah, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying. So
– that was bereft of making sense.
3 berefts in one segment. Yeah. I think that – The Burks question probably is some kind of, and that's what I'd be fascinated to hear, you know, the conversations in there about Burks when Callahan goes through the film on Burks. If he goes through the practice film last camp, he's going to be like, oh, no, we don't need to draft anybody. This guy's amazing, you know. But what is the conversation? What's the feeling on Burks? Like, my feeling on Burks as far as, like, in the room, when you talk to him, when you see him at practice, going about his business, ever since that first mini camp when he's out of shape and had the asthma and all that, like, I feel like he's doing everything right and I feel like he has talent. But I'm with the bottom line is if you get that few opportunities and make that few plays, that has to mean something other than just that you're in a bad offense,
right? And does that, I mean, I think there's a chance, and I'm not going to say a high chance because I don't know that I believe it's a high chance. There is a chance that with the scheme change, the coaching change, and another year of him just getting ready for the NFL through the offseason of being healthy, there's a chance that maybe he can put it all together. And I still, you know, putting it all together, that has changed for me on Treylon Burks as to what that means. Like when they first drafted him, putting them all together is like, could he be a number one wide receiver in the league? Like right now, if he could be like a good 3 for you, I would take it. Now, I know a lot of Titans fans wouldn't, and they, well, that's not what you draft him to be. They want, he needs to be wide receiver number 1 or wide receiver number 2. And that's fine if you feel that way. Right now, if you told me today the next season Treylon Burks would be a reliable 3, I'd say, yep, that's fine, because he's not even been that to this point in his career. So I would take a reliable 3 right now with Treylon Burks with no questions asked. And I don't have confidence that that's going to happen, but I'm leaving a small window that maybe Brian Callahan can unlock something there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like Dustin from Oxville said, I get rid of Burks right now, NWI is over him. I mean, why get what, if you can get rid of him for something, fine, but you're not. You're not going to get anything. So, look, NWI, you know I respect him. And he's a great guy to have in the room. He should not be over Treylon Burks. And they should be able to unlock Treylon Burks to the point where he is ahead of NWI. I mean, the ceilings between those two, a pretty significant difference. No idea if Burks will approach his. But I do think there's still a decently high one. And, yeah, if that guy could be – and that sometimes it does happen in this league where, yeah, he's a three now, and then Hopkins is – out and he builds that confidence and become a decent two in this league. It's not impossible. It's not like some fairy tale. I would not bet on it, but I would like to see these guys take a crack at it.
Joe Chris on the text line is trying to claim Ransformation as his invention over yours and has a text timestamped at 8:33 yesterday. I would like to point out you had Ransformation way before that, like in the 6 o'clock hour yesterday.
Absolutely. You're not going to listen to the 6 o'clock hour, Chris.
You're the winner.
I don't know what to tell you. Thank you. Well, by the way, Dane from Nolensville is trying to take credit for nicked off, but I think that Zach Football and Other F-Words had it on our text line earlier, too.
Yep. A lot of people trying to steal credit on the text line today. A lot of things going on.
We got some receipts.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds.
You're bereft of a point.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Huge game tonight for the Preds against the Vegas Golden Knights. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. That's next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights at home. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock. Here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. The standings in Preds Pick to Click. The listeners remain in first place with 16 correct answers. Rex Road on the board last time out up to 14, so drawing closer to the listeners. Keys are also on the board last time out up to 11. I remain at 7 correct answers in dead last place. With that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in James. James, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning, fellas. I'll take Philip Forsberg.
James, thanks for the call. Forsberg, the selection, going for goal number 40 tonight, Rex Road. If he gets another one, it will be goal number 40, his second 40-goal season of his career. Good thoughts.
Really, Nick, hate that pick from the listener.
Nick, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators, Forsberg, is off the board.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the younger gun on the team. Luke Evangelista, I think, will get back on the board this evening.
Luke Evangelista, the selection. I'm up next. I'm going to go with the captain, Roman Josi. We'll find the back of the net tonight. Forsberg, Evangelista, Josi, off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click.
Okay, hold on. I have a guest picker.
Okay. Oh, God.
Hey, guys. We're vibing. I pick Gus Nyquist.
You might need to log off.
Thank you. If anybody was just listening on the radio, I mean, that was just absolutely terrible radio. But if you're watching the stream, I hope you enjoyed that.
Joe's wearing his We're Vibin' Robbie t-shirt and just pantomimed my voice through the end of the – I mean, I guess pantomimes don't have a voice, but just puppeteered my voice through the end of things there. It was good stuff. Nyquist, the selection by Joe Rexrode / Robbie Stanley. Forsberg, Evangelista, Josi, Nyquist, the picks, and Preds Pick to Click today. Big one for the Preds tonight. Larry on the text line upset that we're calling every game big now. Every game is always advertised as a huge game. Well, that's what they are this time of year. It's a big game.
It's the end of March, champ. You stick with the calendar, buddy.
Chief.
That's what happens.
This one is, I would refer to it as especially big. Preds are 3 points up on the Vegas Golden Knights in the second wild card spot. So Vegas wins last night in St. Louis, but they win in overtime. So St. Louis, which is the closest team out of the playoffs to you right now, they're still 8 points behind you. But Vegas in the final wild card spot, 3 points behind you. So if you win tonight, especially in regulation, you're 5 up on Vegas. You're feeling good about yourself. You're in a pretty good spot to hold them off with 10 games remaining. If you lose in regulation tonight, Vegas is 1 point behind you with 10 games to go, and that race is going to get pretty darn interesting for that those two wild card spots down the stretch.
No doubt. So it's huge from that perspective, without knowing exactly what the matchups would be either way. But also, I do think this is another one of those. Here you go. One of the best teams, a defending champ. Game matters. Playoff-like intensity.
Yep.
Are you good enough?
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's another prove-it game. I mean, they've had a few, and they keep passing the test. So if they lose, you know, 3-2 tonight, not throwing in the towel at all. But to actually win these games, I think it's more than just the standings, too.
Well, we'll see what the defense corps looks like tonight. Lauzon was on the ice yesterday. Looks like he might be a game-time decision. I mean, Stasny and Fabro were out there, too. So we'll see who all is available, who is playing tonight, who's not quite ready to come back yet, and what that looks like on the back end there. But it's gonna be a fun game. I mean, Vegas, obviously, they loaded up at the deadline. They're the defending cup champs. They got some of their guys back. They still have Stone back, but they're playing really well right now. So if you're the Predators, can you keep this thing going? You got Vegas tonight, Arizona on Thursday, which has been a tricky place for you to play, and then Colorado on Saturday on the road. And Colorado is red hot right now. And that, like, if you're asking me, like, the wild card difference between spot one and spot two, obviously, there's no way for me to know this, but this is just me making a prediction. Whoever ends up in wild card two, I think, is probably going to end up playing Colorado. I think Colorado's, at the end of the day, going to end up winning the West, and they're going to be the number one seed. So, like, avoiding the playoff matchup in the first round with Colorado, I think, would be advantageous. So that makes tonight's game bigger.
Yep, would have been advantageous 2 years ago when it was possible. Different situation, but, you know, I mean, who knows? It was Calgary was the alternative, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Colorado avoidance has again become a big priority, I think, for teams in the West.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good, and they've, ever since the deadline, they've really ramped it up here. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They've won 9 in a row. So when you talk about the two hottest teams in the league, it's the Preds and the Avalanche, in whatever order you want to put them in. So first off, it'd be a fun test on Saturday. Preds have beaten them twice this year. They've both been at home. We'll see what they can do on the road when they take on Colorado on Saturday. But first things first, coming up tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. That does it for us today. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. Joe, enjoy your trip to Detroit. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jason, Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.